and you're listening to Morning Devotions for the next 30 minutes. And I do look forward to spending these 30 minutes devotionally with you. Here are some words that I think we need to read quite often. They certainly present a cure for care given to us by Jesus himself, recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. The Lord said to us, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." How many times have we read those verses of Scripture, but do we live them? I'm afraid not. To a great degree, the answer is no. We do give in to the cares of this life. We do worry about silly little things, insignificant, trivial things that have nothing to do with eternity. We worry about this and we worry about that. And Jesus said, don't do that. Cast all your cares upon God. Trust him. But unbelief causes us to be filled with anxious thought. When Jesus said, take no thought for your life, he didn't mean, do not be concerned about your welfare, and don't prepare for old age and days of retirement. Of course not, because there are other scriptures that let us know emphatically that we are to be wise in our plans and our thinking through things. But he meant in those words, take no thought for your life, he meant take no anxious thought. There is nothing wrong with thinking through what you should be and what you should do. But the moment we give way to anxious thought, that's when we overstep what is legitimate and we start doing things that are wrong. And unbelief has its roots in that kind of anxious thought. I don't know, it just seems to me that if we could really believe that our Heavenly Father watches over us, we would be so content and be so at rest, and no matter what happens in our lives, we wouldn't be anxious or worried. We would just trust God. And I've got the Bible on my side, too, when I say things like that, because all the way through the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, repeatedly God says, trust me. Trust me. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Do you think we'll ever get to the point in our lives where we will really believe that? Oh, I hope so. I hope so. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Yeah. So why should I feel discouraged? Or why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely away from heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. For His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches. So I sing because I'm happy. Oh, yes, I sing because I'm free.
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. What powerful words! We won't escape. Hebrews chapter 2. And how that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That is so easy to do. It is so easy to slip away from our first love. It is so easy to become lackadaisical and indifferent and just kind of neglect the fire. And you know what happens when you neglect the fire? It goes out. I find that in my own life, and I'm sure it's true with yours also, that if you don't give earnest heed every day of your life and rekindle the flame of holy devotion, it's going to go out. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how many years you've gone to church. If you don't do it on a present, current, daily basis, you're going to grow cold and indifferent. We have to be stirring up ourselves constantly. That's one of the laws of spiritual life, the same as in the natural. It is through idleness of hands that the roof the house falleth through, if you are not always making repairs and doing upkeep, the thing falls apart. And spiritually, if you are not always keeping yourself in the love of God, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, then you're going to fall apart. It is as simple as that, and the fire is going to go out. Oh Lord, rekindle the flame of holy devotion. It amazes me, it astounds me, how quickly my own heart can grow cold and indifferent, and how easily I can be taken up with the things of this life and begin to forget eternity and the things that really matter. And the glare of the city lights dim my vision, and I don't see Jesus as I ought to. It can happen to any of us. And so we dare not neglect so great a salvation. It makes me think of that passage of Scripture recorded in Luke chapter 11, when Jesus said, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house from which I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first." In other words, there's no neutrality in religion. The absence of positive attachment to Christ involves hostility to him. Because they would not worship and honor the true God, he would let them become unashamedly depraved, and God would give them up to a reprobate mind. Because we are not filled with God and His goodness, we will become filled with this world. You've got to be filled with something. There is no such thing as a vacuum in the human heart. If you are not filled with faith, you will be filled with doubt and fear. If you are not filled with peace, you will be filled with confusion and turmoil. If you are not filled with purity, you will be filled with lusts and sensuality. If you are not filled with love, you will be filled with hate and bitterness. You don't want to believe the truth, then you'll have to believe the lie. You have to believe something. There is no vacuum. You either believe the true prophet or the false. Either walk the way that leads to life or the broad way that leads to death. Either say yes to eternal life or you say yes to eternal death. Oh, but I want to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I don't want to neglect so great salvation. And I don't want my house to be found empty, garnished, and swept, so that the unclean spirit goes out and finds 7 others more wicked than himself and comes into that empty house, and I'm in worse shape than I was at the start. No, I want to be filled with God, filled with faith, filled with peace, filled with purity, filled with His love. What do we pray for it right now? Let's pray for it. I tell you what, without divine grace, without the touch of the Lord's presence in my heart, I am as weak as any other man. I am exactly like Samson, who was shorn of his 7 locks of hair, and he thought he would get out there and shake himself and be as before, and he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him, and he was as weak as any other man. No matter who you are, and no matter how you have been used of God in days past, if we don't keep the fire going and the love of Jesus strong in our heart, and if we find ourselves starting to neglect that great salvation, the fire's going to go out and we'll be as weak as anybody else. Lord Jesus, we pray for this morning. And I pray for my friends, and as they pray for me, that the Holy Spirit would enable us to be everything God wants us to be. The world has such a pull on us. The things of this life are geared to taking us away from God, cooling our affections, causing us to forget God, to forget our Savior who died on Calvary's cross to forgive us and save us. And we find ourselves growing worldly and cold and indifferent. No burden for souls, no vision, no being caught up in divine purposes, because the city lights have blinded our eyes and we can't see God as we used to. Lord, forgive us and refresh us today as we open our hearts heavenward and we just pray for fresh movings and touches of your Holy Spirit. Revive us again, O Lord. Bring your healing within our hearts and souls and lives. And may we just feel and sense God moving in our hearts afresh today. Bring healing, healing into our lives by the touch of the Master's hand. I ask it in Jesus' name, and I ask it for my friends as together we share in these 30 minutes of morning devotions as we endeavor to meet with God and fall in love with Jesus all over again. Heal us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can you say praise the Lord? I came across this beautiful prayer by Catherine Marshall that seems to say so much of what I want to say to you this morning. Give me a dream, Father. Once I had such big dreams, so much anticipation of the future. Now no shimmering horizon beckons me. My days are lackluster. I see so little of lasting value in the daily round. Where is your plan for my life? You have told us that without vision we men perish. So, Father in heaven, knowing that I can ask in confidence for what is your expressed will to give me, I ask you to deposit in my mind and heart that particular dream, the special vision you have for my life. And along with the dream, will you give me whatever graces, patience, and stamina it takes to see the dream through to fruition? I sense this may involve adventures I have not bargained for, but I want to trust you enough to follow even if you lead along new paths. I admit to liking some of my ruts, but I know that habit patterns that seem like cozy nests from the inside, from your vantage point, may be prison cells. Lord, if you have to break down any prisons of mine, before I can see the stars and catch the vision, then, Lord, begin the process now. In joyous expectation, amen.
To Jesus, I now believe.
Where has the time gone? I've enjoyed so much being with you as we've shared together in morning devotions during the past 30 minutes. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And I hope you have a good, happy day filled with the Spirit of God and the love of Jesus and the peace of heaven. The Lord is with us. Thank God for this knowledge. God bless you.